I want to talk this afternoon on the subject of deacons, and most specifically, I want to talk about identifying what a deacon is and the work that a deacon is supposed to do. A study like this is necessary because it is a part of studying the Lord's church and knowing that the Lord has put the church in order and He is giving every part to the church. Every part plays a role and brings about the proper functioning of the local church. It's also important that we study this subject because as we look at denominationalism around about us, we see men and sometimes even women holding the office of a deacon. They're wearing that title. And yet, by their qualifications, which is not going to be a part of our study this afternoon, and by the work that they do, we see that they are not fulfilling or they're not filling this task of being a deacon as is set forth in the Word of God. They have their own concept of what a deacon ought to be. Unfortunately, in some local churches, among those that are the Lord's church, we see deacons serving as nothing more than a figurehead. It's often been lamented that one of the problems with the Lord's church today is that we have the preacher doing the work of the elders, we have the elders doing the work of the deacons, and we have the deacons doing absolutely nothing. And that's unfortunate when that is the case, and I would suggest it's also sinful when that is the case, because we are to function as God has set things in order. What is a deacon? And what is a deacon supposed to be doing? Deacons play a role in the Lord's church. We know that God has set His church in order. To understand what a deacon is, and to understand what a deacon is to do, we need to go to and we need to limit ourselves to a study of the Word of God on this subject. I want to begin by looking at the word deacon itself, and I want to recognize, I want to point out the fact that deacon is a general word, and especially as we look at it in the original language, in the Greek of the New Testament, deacon is a case when you have a generic word or a general word used in a very specific way. In every language, there are many words that are used in a general sense most of the time, but in some context, they become technical terms for specific things, or positions, or offices. For instance, everyone is a manager to some extent. We all manage our time, don't we? We manage our time, we manage our money, we manage our budget. We talked this morning some about the virtuous wife. She is to manage the home, or to take care of the home. However, there are times in the English language when this word manage or manager is used in a specific way. Like on a baseball team. A baseball team has a manager. And that's not everyone. That's one person. The Cincinnati Reds have a manager. Last time I checked, it was Dusty Baker. I think they're doing well enough. He's still their manager. But we recognize that the manager of a baseball team, that's a title. That's a specific person, although there are managers in a more general sense. How about the word elder? The word elder commonly refers to older people, to an older person. Even in the Greek, the word that is translated elder refers to one who is advanced of age or one who is older. But when we study the church, we realize that the word elder is one among six words that refers to a specific individual. Or rather, a group of individuals, group of men, who are overseeing the church. We've got a general word used in a specific way. The same thing is true of the word deacon, or more specifically, the Greek word diakonos. The word diakonos simply means a servant, one who is serving. And most of the places where this word is found in the New Testament, it is translated as a servant or a minister. It appears 27 times in the King James Version translated as servant or minister. But there are three times that it is translated, or rather, transliterated as the word deacon. A transliteration is when you take a word, when we're considering to study the Scriptures, it's when you take a Greek word and you make an English word out of that word. That's the case with baptism. That's where our word baptism came from. Baptism is translated from the Greek word baptizo and its other corresponding Greek nouns and verbs. It means to plunge or to immerse. And if it had been literally translated into the English, Mark 16:16 would say, "He who believes and is immersed will be saved." But instead of literally translating that, the word was simply carried over to the English language. Baptizo became baptism. Diakonos, a servant, became deacon. So three times in the Bible, the word deacon is found to refer to one holding an office or recognized as one who is serving the Lord's church in a specific way. The three places would be Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10, and 1 Timothy chapter 3, and at verse 13. The first thing, or one of the first things we need to understand about a deacon is that a deacon is not a ruler. By definition, a deacon is one who serves, one who carries out the command of another. And that tells us from the very beginning that a deacon's work is not to rule, but to serve. He is not an overseer, but is in a subordinate position of service. Elders are to rule the local church. Elders rule over deacons, and thus deacons serve under the rule of elders. As we look at elders and deacons being mentioned together, it's interesting that in the places where they are found, the passages where they are found, notice that elders are always mentioned first. In that passage, Philippians 1 and verse 1, the bishop or the elder is mentioned before the deacon. Those who are deacons and bishops there in Philippi. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, the other place where deacons are found, here we have the qualifications. But the qualifications for elders are given first in verses 1 through 7. And then the qualifications of deacons, verses 8 through 13. That ought to tell us something. In the few places where they are mentioned together, elders are always mentioned first. That tells us elders come before deacons. Elders have that position of authority over deacons. We also have references to elders being appointed, or rather we have reference to elders of a church without any reference to the deacons. In Acts chapter 11 and at verse 30, the funds or the collection was made by the Christians in Antioch. It was sent to the elders of the churches of Judea. In Acts chapter 11, verse 30. No mention of deacons there. Chapter 15 and verse 2, when the conflict in Antioch arose over the Gentiles and whether or not they needed to be circumcised, it was decided that Paul and Barnabas would be sent to the elders and apostles in Jerusalem. And in Acts chapter 20 and verse 17, when in Miletus, Paul called for the elders of the church in Ephesus. No mention there of deacons. However, the only place that we can read of where we read or where we find deacons without elders is in the passage that Brother Smith read to us a moment ago from Acts chapter 6. There we have men who are being appointed, seven men who are being chosen and appointed to serve in the function or capacity of deacons without any mention of elders. But I want to suggest to you that in that passage, the apostles are filling the role of elders. The apostles are still in Jerusalem. This is before the church has been scattered. They are still there in Jerusalem. They are acting as the leaders of the church. It is not until after the apostles themselves disperse that we begin to read of elders in the Lord's church. So we've got elders, and elders are over the deacons. These facts help us to understand that elders had that position of authority over the deacons. The deacons exercised no authority in the local church other than the authority that had been given to them by the elders to carry out their specific responsibilities. Again, the text that was read to us in Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6 and at verse 3. Acts 6 and verse 3, the apostles said, "Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." Remember what had happened. There was an oversight, or there was a miscue in the care for the widows who were in need. Verse 1 says that the Hellenists, that is the Greek-speaking Jews, that they were being overlooked. Their widows were being overlooked while the Hebrew widows were being served. And so the 12 apostles in verse 2, they summon the multitude. They have to see about this business. They have to see about this matter. This was something that was done and taken care of on a daily basis. Verse 2, they said, "It's not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables." They'd be busy all day taking care of these widows. Instead, they wanted these men to be chosen, and they would be appointed over this business at the end of verse 3. The New American Standard Version renders that last phrase as, "whom we may put in charge of this task." Now, the deacons, in that case, the deacons did have authority. They did exercise authority, but it was authority that had been given to them by the apostles. And so elders may operate with authority. They may operate with the understanding that they're in charge of a particular matter, but that doesn't mean that they're in charge over the elders. That's simply a responsibility that has been given to them by the elders. For instance, could you imagine how tedious it would be if every time there was a problem with the physical structure here in this building, one of the deacons had to go to the elders, had to tell them just exactly what is wrong, had to suggest a way to get it fixed, had to clear and make sure that he had the right to go and charge and bring the expense upon the Lord's church, and then take care of that matter. All to change a light bulb. Do you imagine how tedious that would be? But rather, the elders could tell the deacons, "You take care of this matter." Perhaps a particular deacon, "You make sure that all the lights are working." Another, "You make sure we have all the supplies that we need." Understood in that, implied in that, is the authority to take care of that matter. But that doesn't mean that the deacon has authority over the elder, that the deacon has the authority to make up these things on his own. A deacon is in a position of service. A deacon is a servant. The term deacon, as we saw, is transliterated from the Greek word diakonos. Almost everywhere in the New Testament this word is used, it is translated as servant or minister. Thayer says of this word diakonos, "It is one who executes the commands of another, especially of a master." He would be a surgeon, an attendant, or a minister. And therefore the word diakonos means a servant, an attendant, or a minister. The primary work of deacons is to serve. And this work of theirs is spelled out especially in their qualifications. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and at verse 10, speaking of deacons, it says, "Let them serve as deacons." That tells us right off the bat what deacons are going to be doing. They're not going to be overseeing. They are going to be serving. Then in verse 13, it says, "For those who have served well as deacons." They have a good reputation. It says that the blessing that comes to them if they have served well. But both of these passages tell us what deacons are going to be doing. They're not figureheads. They're not just names in a bulletin or in a church membership as a handful of men who have been set aside and recognized as deacons. A deacon is someone who does something. You look at it in the original language. Diakonos is one who serves. Someone who does something. If a deacon isn't doing anything, he's not deaconing. He shouldn't be a deacon. And if one is not wanting to do something and not wanting to serve, and when the elders come and ask if you'd consider serving as a deacon, you have no business saying yes. And if that's the case, you really need to be looking in your heart because there's something wrong there. But for the sake of our lesson, a deacon is one who serves, one who does something. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 3, as we saw just a moment ago, these seven were appointed over the business, appointed over the task of serving the tables in verse 2. That is, taking care of the widows. They have a responsibility. Now, I understand that every Christian is a servant in one way or another. All of us serve, at least we should have that mentality, and all of us should serve one another and be servants of one another. But there's something special about the service that a deacon renders to the local church that has them recognized separately from the rest of the members. Let us consider also the extent of a deacon's work. This is where we start getting into areas of judgment, because the work of a deacon is not specifically set forth in the Scriptures other than the fact that they are to serve, and that they are to serve under the authority of the elders. We know that they are not in a position of leadership, but we don't know to what extent they are to serve. We know that one thing that they are to do is to relieve the elders. This is the reason that the first deacons were appointed in Acts chapter 6. Now I'll stop and I'll say this. I know of brethren. I've had brethren who have come and they have disagreed with a conclusion that I've come to, and I believe Brother Smith came to as well in the comments that he made about the reading from this text. I believe these are the first deacons that we have in the Lord's church. Now I know that the word deacon is not found here in the English translation, but the word diakonos is found several places in this passage. So these men are being chosen to serve, or chosen to do the work that deacons would do. I don't have a problem referring to them as deacons. Notice the reason they were chosen in the first place was to relieve the apostles. The apostles said it's not desirable that we should leave the Word of God and serve tables. The work of the apostles at that time was spiritual in nature. They were preaching and teaching the Word of God. This was a physical need that arose, and it was important, and it had to be taken care of, but it needed to be taken care of by someone other than the apostles. Their work was of a spiritual nature. Now, what is the work of an elder? The work of an elder is to oversee the local church. The work of an elder is to shepherd the flock and to tend the souls of the flock. The work of elders is primarily a spiritual work. So what do? Deacons relieve the elders so that the elders can focus on spiritual matters. Otherwise, you've got elders doing deacons' work, preachers doing the elders' work, deacons aren't doing anything, and the church isn't getting anywhere. The deacons need to be relieving the elders. A lot of effort has to go into the work of the local church. Deacons help the elders by taking on the tasks that are more of a physical nature, allowing the elders to handle the work that is of a spiritual nature, shepherding the flock of the church. Their work is primarily of a physical nature. Now, that doesn't mean that deacons can't preach. That doesn't mean that they can't be put on the rotation to make comments at the table, or to give invitations on Wednesday night. That doesn't mean that they can't teach a Bible class and can't preach on occasion or even full time. But that is not where their work as deacons is primarily done. You think of the seven men who were chosen to serve as deacons in Acts chapter 6. Two of them did a pretty good job preaching. One was Stephen, who was the first martyr. And the other one was Philip, and we read of his preaching done in Acts chapter 8, and learn later on in the book of Acts he's referred to as Philip the evangelist. The work of deacons may vary, and this is another area in which we get into the realm of judgment. Just exactly the exact work that deacons do can vary from congregation to congregation, depending on the needs, depending on the way that elders want things done. Obviously, in the case of Acts chapter 6, deacons can do work that falls under the area of benevolence. taking care of the needy saints, tending to the needs of the saints, seeing about the physical needs of the members. Someone needs a ride somewhere. That would be something that a deacon would do, that a deacon would take care of. Someone needs some help with something. That would be something that a deacon could take care of, that a deacon would do. Preparing the building, caring for the building, making sure that it is cleaned up, making sure that the supplies are ordered and are here, making sure that there are communion cups and bread ready to be used so that we can worship the Lord on the Lord's Day. Taking care of the teaching program that we have. And that could fall under any number of things could fall under that type of a heading. Maybe ordering and taking care of the track rack in the back. Maybe folding the bulletins and even taking care of a mailing list if one existed. Obviously, a deacon could be put in charge of the Bible class program, making sure that there are teachers who are available on a rotation, making sure the teachers are available every Sunday and every Wednesday, making sure that the material has been ordered so that the classes can be taught in an efficient way. Preparing for worship, as we said, taking care of the supplies, making sure that everything is ready there. Their work can fall under the category of bookwork. There's a little bit of that's necessary in the local church, and because it falls under the area of service, it's fitting for a deacon to do what we would consider to be the work of a treasurer, keeping the books, writing the checks, making sure that the bills are paid so the lights can stay on. It would be fitting for a deacon to take care of that kind of work as well. Certainly, that work of overseeing souls. That doesn't mean that a deacon can't go check on somebody. It doesn't mean that a deacon can't use his personal influence to try to bring someone back unto Christ. Indeed, all of us should do that. Every member should be willing to do what Galatians 6:1 says about restoring one who is in sin. Every Christian should be willing to do what the last two verses in the book of James say, James 5:19 and 20. If we see one who has departed from the truth, to bring them back, thus covering a multitude of sins. And deacons can certainly do that work. But the extent of their work as deacons is primarily of a physical nature. It is a work. By definition of the very Greek term that's translated deacon, it is a work. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 13 reads, "For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus." The work of a deacon is vital to the work of the local church. Those who serve the church well as deacons are worthy of a good standing among the brethren, and through experience gain a strong faith with which they can continue to serve God as well as to serve their brethren. As we have seen in this brief study this afternoon, a deacon has no authority with which to oversee the church. Neither is he a figurehead, and neither should it be understood that every deacon is an elder in training, because that is not the case. The office of a deacon is not a stepping stone to the eldership. Deacons are special servants in the local church who relieve the elders so that the elders can do their work more efficiently. When the elders do their work most efficiently, the evangelist is able to do his work most efficiently. And when we've got all the cylinders firing as they should, the local church will operate and function the way that God will receive the glory for, and in a way that will cause the church to grow and to be edified. I thank you for your kind consideration of this particular subject, and hope especially that the men of this congregation will give some thought as to what the Scriptures have to say regarding just exactly what a deacon is and just exactly what is involved in being and serving as a deacon. If there's anyone who needs to respond to the invitation, we're going to offer it at this time. Perhaps you're here this afternoon and you're ready to call on the name of the Lord for your salvation. You're ready to confess that He is the Son of God, to repent of your sins, and you're ready to receive the forgiveness of your sins by being baptized into Christ. If that's the case this afternoon, I want you to know that all things are ready for you if you are ready to obey. Maybe you're here this afternoon and you are a Christian, but you've been unfaithful to the Lord, and you need to make things right in the public way. Perhaps you're overwhelmed with sin in your life, or problems or struggles, and you simply would like the prayers of the members here. Well, the invitation is for you as well. Whatever your need is, we invite you to let it be known by coming forward as together we stand and sing this song.